is for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Roses are red, violets are blue. Unfortunately, it was Dundee United 3, Falkirk 2. It was Valentine's on Saturday, love was in the air, but unfortunately it was heartbreak for Falkirk as we went down to the terrors of Dundee. But we're here to talk about that and the Dundee game as well. It is Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I am John McNally, joined as ever by Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. You good?
Good, mate. Good. I've had a day of it. I've had a day at the tip. I've had a day of carting around children. I've had a day of getting phones fixed for said child as well. So yes, it's been running about doing little side missions, as I like to call them, throughout the day, like Grand Theft Auto, you know, when you've got to go do these wee side missions and stuff. I've been doing that all day. So I was looking forward, my final side mission of dropping off my daughter there is complete now, and then this is the next side mission, recording the podcast, Ross.
Well, I think this is my second to last side mission then, so we're doing the podcast, and then my eldest is away to some house gathering this evening, so I'm on taxi duty at 11 o'clock or midnight or something like that.
Jeez, I've still made my dinner as well, so that's another side mission. These side missions of life, they just get exactly. In. So we'll get through the podcast. Of course, we're going to be joined by Jamie Swinney, CEO of Falkirk. He'll be on, and me and Ross have spoke to him loads and loads of times before. We did him at Falkirk Daft Live. He's been on the podcast before, so we thought we'd hand over the chat to you guys, and you've been giving us all your questions for Jamie, which we'll get to a bit later on in the podcast. But as I say, we've got to review Dundee and Dundee United before then. But I have to say, shout out to everyone after last week saying that we're up for a cricket match against Stenismuir's social team, flooded with requests to play in the Falkirk Daft team. I'm very impressed by everyone that's reached out. Drew Barton, Falkirk commentator, reached out, said, "I'm your man." Big Grant Thompson's Charlie from Still Game. Big Doogie Blakely, I hear, is a cricketer as well. Scott, who was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, we're gathering names of people saying Paul Hutton, who used to do 1F. Apparently, he's a really good wicketkeeper. I was tipped off by Pablo, who let me know about that. So lots of cricketers out there in the Falkirk area. So we will get the team together and we'll just get dates and stuff, and then we'll be in touch with you. I think I've got a good wicketkeeper as well. My mate Gav, who's been on the podcast representing Hibs before. So we'll get a team together. Looking forward to it. Ross, you're disgusted by this.
I am deeply, deeply saddened that we have so many cricketers in our support tours. I'm not a cricket fan, as I've mentioned before. However, it is good that there's lots of interest, and I will 100% be there supporting. I'm not a cricketer. Unless you need someone. I can know you mentioned it's a bit like rounders, so see if you just need someone to stand in the field and chuck the ball back or something. I can do that.
Yeah, you need two overs, though. You need to play two overs in the bat for two overs as well, though. That's the problem. Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. We'll see how that goes. But, I think it is surprising, the amount of people, because really, cricket's like it's an English sport, isn't it? If we're being honest with ourselves.
Well, no, it's not. It's not. Cricket's a sport for everyone. I enjoy watching it. But we'll give you more further details when we get near the time. And Alan actually got touched on our YouTube channel. Leave your comments below. If you need a cricket-themed punk band, check out Jeffrey Oycott from Leeds. That's a good musical tip.
I'll Jeffrey Oycott
rather than Boy.
Oycott, I like that. That's good. Nice wee pun there. Yep.
John says, after listening to the god-awful songs in your last podcast, I thought I'd give it a go, in and out, to the tune of Calo La Vita. I don't know what this tune is, Calo La Vita.
Well, if you don't know it, I've no chance.
In and out of Behind the Wall, whiskey, beer and vodka, butter bairns in the afternoon, calling for Calvin Miller. I don't think that even scans, but thanks for that, John. Fraser's also got a song for Ben Brosio, again to the song Brotherhood of Man, Figaro. Do you know how that goes? This is very out there kind of songs.
No, that's not one I'm familiar with.
It says, oh, Brogio, he's got magic, whoa. Oh, Brogio, he's a superhero. I don't know how the Brotherhood of Man, Eurovision winner, save all your kisses
I'm
not aware of Figaro by Brotherhood of Man. We'll have to check that out. And Kenny got in touch with us as well. I know this tune, so he's went for the tune of Rio, Duran Duran. His name is Ben Brogio. Oh, God, that's really hard to scan. Let's check it, change it to Brogio. His name is Brogio, and he dances down the wing. His name is Brogio, and he makes the Falkirk sing. His name is Brogio, and we think that he's grand. His name is Brogio, and he makes the Falkirk stand. There you go.
That's not bad. I like that. It helps that I know the tune.
Yeah, Real by Duran Duran, of course. Before we talk about the Dundee game, I always need to say thank you very much to Donna and Susan from the Falkirk Reset Float Centre. Spoke to them in the lounge before Wednesday game, and they I have to say a big shout out, because it is Valentine's weekend, and then they said, would your wife like to have a session at the centre? I went, absolutely, that 100% hit nail on a Valentine's gift. So I haven't told her, I said, listen, you can go to this lovely centre that's been open for like 5 years, just come May, and it's on Falkirk Road. So have you heard of these float centres? You basically lie like a kind of, almost like a, I guess a casket or something like that, and you kind of just float in the water and all this kind of...
I've looked into it. It wasn't actually for me personally when I looked into it, it was for someone else. However, I can imagine it is really therapeutic. The only question I would have is, are you completely you're not completely submerged.
You're just kind of floating on the water, because they basically they do 60-second sessions, Donna and Susan, and they have basically got 550 kilograms of magnesium and a foot of body temperature water, and that basically kind of makes you float. And apparently it helps with pain management, sport injury, recoverer, stress and anxiety, insomnia. It's good for antenatal and skin as well. So there you go. Donna and Susan told me all about it. So thank you very much to Donna and Susan for the Valentine's gift. My wife will be taking great use of that. And remember, if you want to check out the Refloat Centre, it's on Falkirk Road. Get in touch.
Yeah, wait, now do I get a voucher as well, or is it just you?
What's that?
Yeah, I get a voucher as well. Or
No, it's just me. Just me.
Jammy beggar.
Just listen, absolutely. So get yourself down if you think that'll benefit you. That's the Reset Float Centre. And while we're on it, let's say thanks very much to our sponsor of this week's episodes, Carpetways. They're back on board. Now, Carpetways, if you know, started in Falkirk 25 years ago. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary. It was Phil Kelly and the family. And they basically are a family-run business. If you're looking to get your carpets, they're basically on an ideal just now for their £790 for a full house. That's exclusive to Falkirk at the moment. So if you go to carpetways.com/Falkirk, you'll get that deal just now. And they recently won Scotland's Business Award for Best Multi-Site Flooring and Carpet Business. So you know you're getting it good there. They're on Bunbank Road, of course. You'll know where that is. It's next to Lazy Day Sofas. Just off Graham's Road, so you know exactly where I'm talking about. And they're going to give you a free home measure as well, where the estimator's going to come out, measure your rooms, give you the best price with no wastage, so you can book your measurements on their website. But carpetways.com/Falkirk is where you want to go, and thank you very much to Phil and the full team at Carpetways for sponsoring this week's episode. Club news, not much this week. Heritage Shirt sponsors are now available, Ross. I don't know what the uptake's been for it. Obviously, we wore it for the first time against Dundee. I now think I'm going to buy it because I really like it.
I think it looks really great. I wasn't sure how it was going to look as a strip. However, I too liked it when we saw it against Dundee. I actually kind of hope we might wear it against Hearts, because I was thinking that might be another opportunity where they could wear it. Listen, I know it's not for everyone. I've saw the comments on social media as well. There's obviously, it has split opinion. But I quite like it. I do. I think it's kind of cool. The only little bit of OCD in me is the socks are a different shade to the shirt and the shorts. Listen, if I'm being a critic, the socks are a slightly different shade to the shorts and the socks. But Otherwise, it does look really, really nice.
Yeah, well, you can sponsor a heritage shirt from one of the players now for 400 quid, and you get a tour of the Falkirk Stadium, you get breakfast, watch the first team training, and then you get to meet your player as well. And you get a picture with your player, so you get a picture with Brogio or Lisa, Hendo. I'm sure a lot of these have been taken up by now, but check it out on the website, see if you can get yourself a wee shirt sponsor, that would be great. Let's go right into birthday corner now and say happy birthday to Millie Blackadder, who turns 19 on Friday. Spoke to her dad Colin in the lounge yesterday, who asked for the shout out, and apparently Millie didn't give one for him, so there you go. He was feeling a bit put out by that. But there you go, Millie. You're getting a shout-out, 19 this Friday. So happy birthday to you. And happy birthday to Archie Henderson. He's 4 on Monday. That is the son of Scott Henderson, Mr. Crunchy Carrots. Wee Archie. I saw pictures being put up on Facebook of his birthday party today. So happy birthday, Archie. We must remember, if he does listen to this, we better keep the language okay today. And poor show from Stuart Adam. He's failed as a father, one of our directors. He basically put a belated birthday shout out to Ruby, his daughter. Now Ruby, you'll see, does all the club photography. She turned 26 the other day there, so happy birthday Ruby. She's at all the Falkirk Daft live events as well, so happy birthday Ruby. And apparently she was registered as a junior bairn before she was actually registered at the registry office. There you go.
Fair play. That is a good claim to fame.
That is very good. So well done, Stuart. So you did well as a dad then, but you didn't do so well because you were too late with your happy birthday mention. To be fair, he did mention us last Sunday. We just recorded the podcast. So happy birthday, Ruby. There you go. I saw they were out for our birthday as well, the media team. So there you go. And a shout out to Ian Goldie, who turned 31 on the 11th of February. And that's from Brian, Murray, Blair and Ross. I had a quick scan as well, Ross, over the kind of Falkirk players' birthdays. Not many this week, but on the 21st, Paddy Craig turns 40.
No, no. Still see Paddy Craig as a 25-year-old.
Oh, I love Paddy Craig. Loved Paddy Craig.
He was good. He was good.
A wee pit bull in midfield. I loved
Paddy. He was.
Craig.
He was
so good.
You wanted him in his team, didn't you? You wanted him in.
100%. And Neil Murray, do you remember Neil Murray had a stint with us?
Very briefly. Was that late 90s,
Yeah, he played for Rangers and he played Hearts as well, and he maybe did. I actually ended up playing five-a-side with Neil Murray once. He was brilliant.
I can imagine he was.
Couldn't run, but he just sat in the middle of the park and just like sprayed past his left, right, center and then just knocked into the top bin every time. Very, very good. Have you ever played football with a professional? Obviously you have played with Liam Craig.
Indeed, yes, we did, didn't we?
Sammy McGovern, but Sammy was in the goals.
Sammy, yeah. I remember a tournament years and years and years ago at Brockville. At the end of the season, they did a tournament, and each team were allocated a player. But unfortunately, the player that we got allocated in the draw was John Henry. Now, that's not a bad thing, because John Henry was a brilliant player. However, he was injured at the time, so we couldn't use his expertise or his skills. His only contribution was, right, guys, score more goals than the other team.
Brilliant.
And I've got a Mars bar for halftime. That was literally his contribution to the group. However, the Mars bar was lovely.
John Henry, what a player he was. Aye, so there we go. But happy birthday to Paddy, 40. Cannot believe that. Unbelievable. Let's talk Dundee before we talk Dundee United. Do a quick scan over what happened at Dundee in the week. It was a terrible night to be watching football, but obviously we grunted. It was very much a case of grunting and bearing it, because it was absolutely just an awful night. You could see that kind of affected the game on the park. A few surprise changes though, Ross. Spencer McCann and Miller all left on the bench, and then of course Scott Bain was announced in the team, and then obviously was very ill. So Nicky ended up getting his first start of the league.
Yeah, so there was a few changes. We did think there might be, just because John McGlynn had obviously intimated that with the busy schedule, he may look to make some changes. You don't want to see some of the sort of regulars not play because they're so good and consistent. Like obviously with Brad, especially that's, and I think that we did miss him when he wasn't on the park. But what an opportunity for Nicky. Obviously we now know that Scott Bain had diarrhea, and it was outed on Falkirk TV by John McGlynn on Friday night. So I'm sure well, it has firmed up now, so good news. But yeah, so but I thought Nicky, I know people say, oh, the penalty situation, but I thought Nicky did fantastically well. And that was his first ever Premiership start, which
No,
was good.
great to see Nicky, but it was good to see Nicky in the team. I mean, yeah, at one point, yeah, just in the second half when we just went up 1-0, brilliant save from him. It was one that was flying at the net. Nicky just got across and just punched it away. We'll talk about the penalty just in a minute. But it wasn't much. I mean, it wasn't much of a football match. Just I think mainly due to the conditions, there wasn't much chances here, there, and everywhere. There was the Dylan Tate, which I saw Sports Scene going through saying, "Oh, what's he doing there?" But the ball took a deflection and went behind him. You know how he tried to get that wee cute flick was back heel.
Absolutely.
But the ball kind of went behind him, so that I thought it was a bit of ingenuity from Dylan. But I saw on Sports Scene they were saying, "What was he doing? What was he doing?" But he
Yeah,
couldn't do anything else.
no, I couldn't have done anything else. I did. Was it, did I watch another podcast, or there was maybe another situation I watched or listened to, and they were talking about how, like you've just said, actually, it looks like it's went behind him. And do you know what it was? It was the terrace, and they were talking about the fact that it had genuinely went behind them. And because I think at first glance you think, oh, why did they try that? But actually, it was a really nice bit of ingenious play for them. And do you know what? It never worked, but it could have done. It could have
No,
done.
absolutely. So there wasn't much to write home about in that first half, but goal came in the second half. Bit of scramble in the box, and Ben Broglio managed to just get a shot off, and it goes into the net. Good to see the wee man getting off the mark with his first goal.
Absolutely. Listen, I thought it was a really good finish, and he did the right thing. He hit it down, and he hit it straight at the keeper's legs. Now, granted, yeah, listen, sometimes the keeper will be lucky, and he'll hit off his leg and go away. But it didn't. It hit off his leg and went in. So, but no, I thought it was a really well taken goal. It wasn't like a vintage performance from him
I
overall,
don't
but.
think he had a great game. I don't think, aside goal aside, I don't think Ben had a particularly great game.
No. I don't
I
think there
don't think
was
many of them
many.
had a great game
No,
on Wednesday night,
no,
to be fair.
no. I agree. I don't think there was many standouts, to be honest. But we got the job done, and I was really chuffed for him. And obviously, it's given him so much confidence, which he then took into the Dundee United game as well. But no, really nice finish. I thought he did well with it.
I mean, we rang the changes, we got the bugle out, we brought on Spencer, we brought on Calvin and Finney just to see it out. And it looked like it was just going to be stagger out at 1-0. But then we had the referee didn't give it, it was VAR, did give it. Nicky came out, and in all fairness, you've got to hold your hands up when you see it back on the telly, it was a penalty.
Yeah, it's from the angles that I've seen, it's certainly, I think it is.
Initially on the night, I didn't think it was. But yeah, you see the VAR, and it's a definite penalty.
Yeah, it's a sore one, and obviously, like everyone in the stadium, I feared the worst at that stage of the game, because whilst a draw maybe would have been like a fair outcome for the both teams, you never ever want to lose a late goal. And boy, did he miss. Boy, did he miss.
It was weird because from the angle we were at, Ross, I thought it went in, and I just kind of turned my back out, for fuck's sake. And because Nicky went the wrong way, I went, it's in. But it was just this roar from the south stand because he obviously saw it just going miles wide. And I was like, oh, yes, brilliant. And, up the road with the 3 points.
Absolutely, it was huge, huge 3 points. And they all count. Listen, how we've had injustices this year where we've not maybe gotten some points that we deserved, and vice versa. Yeah, a draw was maybe the right result. But then, listen, we didn't get anything from Dens Park in December, where we were probably due a draw there as well. We got the 3 points, big 3 points at that point. And at the week, it then extended our lead over Dundee United to 14 points. It extended the lead over Aberdeen to 11. And we went joint fifth at that point with Hibs as well. So just overall, brilliant night. We obviously had the pleasure of interviewing John McGlynn and Paul Smith after the game, which I thoroughly enjoyed as well.
Yeah, no, that was good. I did at one point, I said to John, because I was determined to get to the bottom of his fashion crisis, and I did say, John, what's with the glow up, John? It looks like you've been dragged through flannels, and he had no idea what I was talking about.
No, he didn't,
did he? And then I was like, well, John, he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, your drip, you know? I thought, I'll just double down here at this point and say your drip. And I eventually got explained to him, and I said, but where are the Puma Kings gone, you know? And then he said that his wife, he thought he was going to go for a suit in the Premiership, but his wife, because he did, in his words, I didn't like the new training gear. So, and then he said, I don't know what to wear. He was going to wear a suit, and then his wife said, no, you'll be too much like Brendan Rodgers then. So he's went for the cool, casual flannels look.
He has. He's looking great. He's looking great. And we also asked him, for those that weren't on the lounge, we asked him if his passport was in date, and he says yes, and he's very optimistic.
It's the most confident I've, you know, speaking to him, it's the most confident I've seen him. Talk about the game from Saturday in a bit, but it's certainly on that night he was very confident, because he's just seen his side get 3 points when they probably didn't deserve the 3 points as well.
Yeah, so, exactly. And when ugly, when you shouldn't, that'll help.
Exactly. Let's get to your comments on that game. Scott says, not a night for football, but well fought. 3 points. Thought the pitch looked excellent tonight. There you go. Martin says, it was better to be lucky than good, which summed us up tonight. Didn't think we hit top gear. Ambrosio scored, despite a decidedly iffy home debut. Yeah, that's what we're getting to there. Brenda says, BBC said that Dundee had the better of the contest for long spells. He says, not sure I agree, or nor do the stats. Was that a thing of beauty? No, but sometimes it doesn't need to be, and a fluffed penalty can feel as good as a goal. Did what we need. The table is a sweet view. That was on Wednesday night, of course. Still is. Paul says, a bit concerned about that one, more so when I saw the lineup. Not a night for our A game, but got a win. Good to see Hendo with the armband, Brogio getting his first goal, and a wild penalty miss, meaning Nicky kept a clean sheet. Equal fifth is beyond the wildest expectations. Certainly is. And True Brit says, win ugly and a bit of luck, take that any time. Is it true that after a penalty miss, that house in Skinflats got a ball through their window? I might you did. Obviously, we put up the picture as well of the Kelpies catching the ball as well. It was
absolutely fantastic picture from Gordon White, one of the former official club photographers, and he's now just an absolute legend of a guy. And he still snaps pictures at the stadium as well. But brilliant picture. And it was a horrible miss. That Danda must have had nightmares on Wednesday night.
I know. I think Falkirk Daft rated has to go to Jan Danda.
Yeah, probably.
Because I mean, on the night, I don't know if there was. I mean, you can Hendo. You can always just give it to Hendo, but let's give Danda the Dafty, and who do we give it from a Falkirk perspective?
You know. Whilst it wasn't a vintage performance from the majority of the team, I'm going to go Nicky Hogarth, because I know some people say, oh, the penalty, but I thought he kept us in the game at points as well. So I'm going to say Nicky.
Super Nicky Hogarth and goals. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a hard ask to get drafted at the last minute. So I'm
absolutely
all for it. Let's give it to Super Nicky. So well done, Nicky. Good to see you back in the side. So that's it. That's your Falkirk Daft rated and Falkirk Dafty for Dundee. And then it was on to the Dundee double as we took on United on Saturday there. A lot to discuss in this one. Scott Bain came back from his diarrhea. Thanks for that, John, for letting us in too much info. But Scott Bain was back from illness. He could have left it at illness rather than diarrhea. But Calvin Miller, Leon McCann came back in as the Brad Spencer. Conor Allen out injured, as we found out after the match. But Kyrie Wilson returning to the bench. So big changes. And, you know, with the kind of schedule of games, it was expected that would happen, Ross.
It was. It's a shame to lose Conor, though. The rumour is, unless it's been confirmed anywhere, the rumour was that he got a head knock in training on Friday. Right. I'm not fully aware of the guidelines around it, as in, does he need to be out of training and out of games for so many days potentially. I would really, really love for him to be back next week against
Well, we
Hearts.
need
But
him. We're going to talk about that situation in a minute. But Lewis Nielsen obviously starting in with Hendo. Not entirely convinced by Lewis Nielsen at the moment, just in terms of, and we'll talk about various bits, but it's I don't know. I don't know. He's starting, he's the one playing the team. I think his distribution is not as good as Connor's. I don't, he's fast. He's a bit more physical than Connor, but I always find myself a bit more assured with Connor in a alongside Hendo. But
yeah, he certainly. I don't think he was the reason why we lost
no,
yesterday.
he wasn't. He wasn't
No,
absolutely. He could have had a go as well, to be fair.
he could have done. I think I can see where you're going though. It feels like he has a mistake in him at least once per game. Now that's maybe doing him a little bit of a disservice because his mistake yesterday like didn't lead to anything, right? So it'd be harsh for us to use it as a stick. But I think for me, I agree with you. I think versus Connor, I'm not sure he seems as confident, but then he has been out for a 3 months, so it's a long time. He's getting back up to speed. We need him to be a big player for us between now and the end of the season. We need everyone to be a big player for us between now and the end of the season. Obviously, he will not play against his parent club next Saturday, and as you said, that will leave a bit of a pickle if Connor can't play.
Yeah, of course, we'll speak about that just in a minute. But yeah, I mean, we started off relatively brightly. We kind of came at United, we kind of dominated the opening part of the game. I
We
would
did.
say, yeah, it was. I thought McCann was great yesterday, and we'll talk about Lisa's goal in a bit, but he just got down there. He was constantly delivering dangerous balls into the box, and we didn't quite get on the end of it. But we did finally find a goal in the 17th minute. Really good bit of play, Dylan Tate feeding in Barney. Barney, great awareness just to lay it off to Brojo, which means it's two assists in a week for Barney, as well as his goal against Steny. Because he got his assist against Livy as well, so it's a week and a half anyway. But Ben Brojo, and it was a great finish from the young lad.
Lovely, lovely finish. Really nice move. As you said, Barney played a big part in it as well, Dylan Tate. How chuffed must Ben feel after? Like, I know we lost yesterday, right? But him personally, two games, two goals, two good finishes. His personal confidence will be sky high. Listen, the team's confidence is still sky high as well because we're riding on the crest of a wave still. It's not as if like the buffers have fell off, and we do tend to bounce back after a defeat as well. Granted, it's a tough ask next Saturday, but and Hearts will be looking to bounce back after their game today too. But I think lovely, lovely goal. I agree with you on Leon. I thought he was superb from start to finish yesterday.
Unfortunately, Dundee United bounced back as well, and it's a very, very uncharacteristic mistake from both Hendo and Scott Bain. Though Scott Bain has held his hand up for it, for him making a late call. Obviously, the ball gets Ben actually sliced it up in the air, which wasn't ideal anyway. But Scott Bain came to collect, obviously, and Hendo was ready to head it away, but
Yeah.
it's kind of just been a mix-up, and then obviously Ross Graham's just been able to tap it into the net.
Yeah, not a great goal. You're right, Scott Bain has held his.
I think that's the sloppiest goal we've given away all season.
Oh, it's so cheap, so cheap. And unlike us, as you said, I don't want to make light of it, but he obviously he's held his hands up. If only had done that at the time. But I think the mix-up between him and Hendo was it was uncharacteristic of him, and it was a sore goal to lose because I think had we kept it tight till half time. I just think the game would have went. Like, I know the sending off changes things as well, but I just think you go in at the break, one up, and there was still a long way in the first half to go. But I think if you go in against Dundee United, their heads maybe dip a little bit as well.
We almost go 2-1 up though. Lewis Nielsen, good free kick from Callum Miller, looping header off the bar. Looked like he was going in, but unlucky from Lewis Nielsen. And then, like you say, we get to half time. Barney had a wee overhead kick in there as well, which he a decent effort from him. I thought Barney was actually yesterday was a bit quieter. I was really impressed with him against Livingston, but obviously he gets his assist. But I don't think the energy was there from him, like in terms of getting behind. I don't think we got the ball into his feet often enough as well. He was always there and thereabouts for trying to win flick-ons and stuff, but sometimes I just feel try and get the ball into Barney's feet as well, because it tend to be we go long for Barney. And again, his flick-ons were really good at points as well, but I do think there's points that we should look to get into his feet.
No, we should. I actually thought we looked really lethargic across the across the field team yesterday, John, and you could tell it was our fifth game in 14 days. Yeah. And we need to bear in mind Dundee United were fresh, and I think they looked it yesterday. But then they should have been, because they haven't played much or at all in the last 10 days. So
I was going to go one way or the other. They were either going to be really, really fresh or be like a bit out of sorts because they hadn't played games, you know, and it seemed to be they were a wee bit more like the latter rather than the former.
I think so as well, and they kind of did really well in the midfield. Sibs ran the show, if we're being really honest. He was a class act yesterday. Fair play to him for not celebrating his goal. But yeah, he was probably the standout midfielder across both teams yesterday.
My God, Craig Sibbald was excellent yesterday. We'll talk about his goal in a minute. We come out break and we get off the mark again. Brilliant 1-2 between Leon and Philip Wiesa. Great from Wiesa. Absolutely smashing, driving with the ball, feeding McCann. And it like McCann had been doing it all match. And he finally found that man at the back post. And it was a well done, Philip Wiesa, for following that in. And just a great bit of work from the two of them.
The two of them combined so, so well. Actually, at the time, I thought he'd headed it just at the angle that I saw the goal from. But obviously, I now have seen that it was a... he kicked it in. But what a move. And Wiesa again... Like, he just oozes class. And I think we're so lucky that we've got not just the two of them as really, really competent full-backs. You've obviously got Keelan Adams on the bench as well. So we're overrun at that point with that position, which is great to see. And as we know, Phil can play either full-back as well.
And unfortunately, though, like a man with no arms walking a dog, we couldn't hold on to the lead. The goal came 2 minutes later. It was just, again, it was like the first one, just came snap out a bit. Again, we should have cleared our lines a bit better, but Craig Sibbald doing Craig Sibbald things. It was a beautiful finish from Craig Sibbald. He just basically just passed it into the net. And absolutely, hats, you know, to be fair, I don't know, like, obviously, if the shoes are their feet, I think, why not celebrate the goal? But Sibs, obviously, is his boyhood club. He's brought up a Falkirk supporter, and he didn't celebrate at all. He just walked up to the halfway line.
Yep. I think, listen, see if it was just a former Falkirk player, right? I don't think you could argue against anybody just celebrating a goal, right? But he lives 2 minutes drive from the stadium. He's a Falkirk fan. He goes to Falkirk games when he can as well. He's a Falkirk fan, Falkirk legend for the modern era. And I think it was a nice touch. He was never going to not score, because he's a proper pro. And it was a really good finish and a really good performance from him yesterday. I do wonder, Is he someone who is now probably not like what we need in our team at some point, or is he one of these guys that might end up coming back at some point?
I think he might be out of contract with Dundee United at the end of the summer. So it'll be very much in Dundee United's ballpark. I mean, the thing is with Craig Sibbald, though, like, he's a very good player at Dundee United. He won their player of the year a couple of times, you know. Yeah. He does so well. And, like, I guess if Dylan Tate, let's just say Dylan Tate, who's out of contract at the end of the season, was to move out of the team, imagine Craig Sibbald and Brad Spencer in that pivot in midfield.
It wouldn't be a bad combo at all.
Yeah, so, okay, you'd love to see it. You'd love to see it happen, because, like you say, to, you know, come back to the club where he supported, started that and finished his career there would be phenomenal. And, like you say, his class in midfield yesterday just oozed out of him. And we're talking about a Dundee United player here, but I did think Sibbald was very good in midfield yesterday. He got his goal with a big chance after that. Wiesa at it again. Brilliant hit in the box. Just brought it, like, I thought the chance had gone. and he just kept going, brought it onto his left foot and smashed it as hard as he could. And it was a good save from their keeper, to be fair.
It was a very good save. I still thought, John, at that point that we were going to go on and get the winner, to be honest. I know it wasn't, again, a vintage performance, but I still thought we had enough in us until the turning point, obviously.
Which was, of course, the red card. I didn't think the referee was having a great game anyway, Ryan Lee, for anyone that knows it. I mean, you can't blame him for that because he gave the yellow on the pitch. And he went, Stephen McLean, who was on VAR, told him to go and have a look at it on VAR. Now, for me, that's re-refereeing the game. You know, VAR's meant to be there for clear and obvious errors. Was that a clear and obvious error? No, it wasn't. It was a man who was running in goal, 50 yards out. There was, Henry Cartwright was coming, chasing as well. And Henry's no slouch. And he had a very good, I thought Henry Cartwright was magnificent yesterday again.
Yep.
Thought he was dominant in that midfield. And then you've got Lewis Nielsen, who's no slouch either, and he's ahead of Waters. Now, Waters takes, you know, a heavy touch anyway. Scott Bain is there as well. So how is it last man? How is it a sending off? It was a wild, wild decision from VAR.
I think so as well. See, had they said it was for dangerous foul play, right? But it was a bit of a heavy challenge, right? So had they said it was dangerous play, I actually think more people would have went, right, okay, fair enough. But for it to be labelled as a denying of a goal-scoring opportunity, I think it's farcical. I really do. There weren't many, not obviously for the point of the view of opinion of a Falkirk perspective. Obviously, hardly anyone thinks it was a red card. But what's interesting is a lot of the media have been saying exactly the same as well, whether it's the sports scene pundits, whether it was the radio pundits, whether it's anyone else that's been having a point about it on social media. And that said, it doesn't sound like we're going to appeal it. We can obviously ask Jamie when he comes on if that's even been discussed. But based on John McGlynn's comments, because he compares it to the Celtic situation a couple of weeks back, which
but Trusty, Trusty got sent off, but like he was that was a lot closer in, and actually at the point that was a big debate as well. Brad Spencer mentioned it in the lounge when I spoke to him yesterday as well. He was saying, a different situation when you're 50 yards out from goal, like wild, wild, wild decision, and our first red card of the season. So it just shows you how disciplined the side have been. And it's not like, you know, Hendo will be feeling gutted that he's let the side down there, but it's not on Hendo at all. He's taking one for the team. And it's just, I think it's a ludicrous decision. Absolutely ludicrous decision.
No, I totally agree with you, John. And I hope we do appeal it. Whether it gets overturned or not is another matter. But at point of principle, I know it costs money, but at point of principle, I think we should.
Yeah, and we'll ask Jim when we get him on. They score then, you know, you're at that point, like, let's just hold out for the 2-2. 4 points, you know, a point out of that game with 10 men would have been would have been great. But again, to get a goal, and again, you know, Kyrie Wilson, who came on and he caused trouble with his pace, as Kyrie does. At points, Kyrie just doesn't chase things and looks a bit disinterested though, but he did cause problems. And you know, I heard a few the crowd were getting on at him, but when he went forward, he was fouled twice and the referee didn't bring it back.
Yeah.
And then they go on, you know, in that same period of play, then they go on to score.
And score, yeah.
With just that extra man at the back post, Eskisson scores at the back post from that whole period of play. And I don't want to seem bitter about it, but I mean, like, there was the same thing happened and the referee was, like, it was Dundee United players going down, he would stop players, Falkirk players going down, but he wouldn't stop play. There were situations where he played advantage for Dundee United and bring it back. Like, and he was just all over the place, I thought, the referee. And I don't like blaming referees, but I thought it was a poor performance.
I think they need called out when it's so, so bad, though. And it's not just bad. It wasn't just bad for Falkirk. It was just bad in general.
There was some decisions that were going our way as well, in fairness.
Aye. Yeah, but that was a shocker, and I think again, when you, as you said, when you pull it back, there's a an obvious foul there that wasn't given, and then leads them to an attack, which they then get their goal from. I must admit, as soon as we went down to 10, I thought there's long enough here that if they were to score, it probably finishes the game. And unfortunately, that is kind of how it went. I know we had a couple of half chances thereafter, but
Yeah.
I
I'd actually
just.
thought we might still edge it because they tried to manage the game out. Rather than going for another goal, they tried to manage the game out. And Brian Graham was unlucky at the end as well, not to just
Was.
get on the
Yeah, it was a good
scraper as
strike.
well. Yeah. But yeah, it changed, flipped the game totally. I think we would have went on to win the game if we kept all the men on the park.
Oh, I think so. I genuinely think so as well. We were in no danger, really. And a draw, yeah, but again, a draw probably would have been a fair outcome. But we've not got it. But listen, we've taken 4 points from the nine against Dundee United this season. They finished in the top half of the table last year, European spot. So I think we'll take it and we'll move on.
I think one more win gets us top six. I genuinely think one more win puts us in the top six. Looking at
Probably, yeah, I would say
the,
so.
I
I would
mean,
say
it
so.
gives puts us on 42 points, which has been enough over the last I don't know how many seasons. 42 points enough to get you top six.
Yeah.
So we've got Kilmarnock at home. They obviously got beat off Celtic today. They'll have a week off next week as well. No, they won't actually. I don't know who they're playing next week, but that's in the next game because Tynecastle's going to be tough. But you never know. You never know. But one more
You never know. You
One more
never know.
win, I think we'll get it over the line for the top six. I hope so, anyway. Let's
I
see what
agree.
you guys were saying to the match, and I think it all very much revolves around the referee. John says the less said about the ref performance, the better. We never got going for a long enough spell and conceded cheap goals. Got to credit Sibs, thought it was brilliant in midfield for them and never gave the ball away. We will learn from this and still in a strong position. Evan says, actually thought Dundee United set up really well to deal with us, but our quality still showed, especially early in the second half. However, we didn't help ourselves with a couple of the goals conceded, and then the VAR ref kills us with the dubious red. Yep. Paul says, shocking referee, and without doubt, we were a better team today. However, we also let ourselves down, gave away two sloppy goals after getting in front. Nothing to get down about, though. Reset and go again. I heard that phrase from Scott Bain, is it? We go again. We go again. Linda says, one of the worst refereeing performances I've seen. However, he's not the reason we lost. That was down to some slack passing and poor defending to give a bang average Dundee United side 2 goals and 3 points. Not much to more to add, except need to defend much better come Saturday. McCann, man of the match for me. We'll get to that in a minute, Linda. Vicky says, how can you deny a goal scoring chance near the halfway line? That needs to be appealed. Defence without Hendo, we will struggle. We shouldn't be playing Nielsen. Hope Conor Allan's back on the squad ASAP. I mean, we talked about it. Hendo will not be available for Hearts unless we appeal it. It does mean that we, and Nielsen's not available. It does mean we're short. And if Conor, hopefully Conor's back, but I guess it means Cole Donaldson, who came on. I thought Cole, when he came off the bench, did really, really well. He was getting some stick from the United supporters, I'll tell you that. But it'll likely be, I guess, Ross Cole and Conor, or do they move Lisa into the middle alongside Conor?
I would assume if Connor
Colin
can't
Cole, sorry.
play, I think if Lissa, sorry, yeah, I think if Connor can't play, I think it will be Cole and it will be Lissa with Keelan at right back and Leon at left
Do you
back.
think
I
that's
think for
they'll
that,
go
yeah.
let and then put leave Connor on the bench?
If no, I think if Connor's fit, he plays. I think if
So
it would be
does
Connor.
it go? Does it go? Colin, Lisa at the back with Adams at
Keelan
right
coming
back,
in.
McCann at left back. And then
Yeah.
do you go Cole and Allan in the middle?
I don't think he'll move Lissa into the centre half position unless he has to. I think it
So
will if
Cole.
Connor's fit and Cole. Yeah, I think it would be Connor and Cole as the centre halves. However, if Connor is not able, I can see him moving Lissa and Keelan at right back.
Yeah, cool. Vicky says, how can you die? Well, we just did Vicky there. Raymond says, we played 3 times in 7 days and they hadn't played in 10. It showed. We were sloppy in our passing. We weren't sharp to react. Ref was terrible. Hendo Red should be rescinded. They won't challenge top six and we'll beat them in the cup. I like that optimism. Colin says, I doubt
If
the
they
Reds
get
will.
past Spartans, if they get past
If they get
Spartans,
Spartans, you still backing Spartans to win that match.
I am, man.
Colin says, I doubt the Red will get rescinded. there needs some clarity on what is a goal opportunity, goal scoring opportunity. Nielsen poor, and it's been in three games this week. Marshall also gave the ball away. I thought Marsh was a bit poor yesterday. He did. I agree with you, Colin. I thought he did give the ball away an awful lot yesterday. I could see when he got hooked off, it was after another one of those passes, and John just went, right, you're off. Okay, and Manny is willing to try things, but not always come off. Real killed it first today. Dylan Tate, I know what he's trying to do. He's always trying that forward pass, and I think he leads the league, the league of the most forward passes from a central midfielder. But sometimes there's an easier ball on that he needs to take, but he always tries that hard, and sometimes it comes off. Absolutely, sometimes it comes off. And but there's other times where he's just going, Dylan. It gets frustrating at points, Dylan. But you know, I guess you've got to try it. You know.
Yeah. So, listen, he's a class player. He will always try to do obviously the right thing, but sometimes he'll try what the defence or the other midfielder are not expecting. Keeping it simple can be as our thing. We do try and keep it simple, like hence why we're safe with the ball playing it out for the back. But we do try and be cute with it as well. But just listen, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It works more often than not for him and us. And we just need to wipe our chin and move on.
Yeah, and Andrew finishes up saying, okay, who from Falkirk stole that referee's £1 mix-up when he was a kid? Must be something like that to show how much he hated us. Two times United players down at the other end of the park, they went down. In fact, the same player, and he stopped play immediately. Falkirk player down, and he plays on. Arr. Andrew's not happy. So there you go. Falkirk Daft rated then from the match then, Ross?
Leon McCann for me.
Oh, I was going to give it to Lisa. But Leon was good. Leon was good, and yeah, right, we'll give it to Leon. Lisa did. Right, okay.
He scored as well. Listen, I'm happy to go with.
No, we'll go Leon. Let's go Leon for that. And the Dafty, I'm assuming is the referee or VAR. Who we're giving
happy?
It to?
Yes, either way.
Ryan,
we'll go VAR.
Go VAR. Stephen McQueen on the VAR. Stephen McQueen VAR. There we go. Type that up, and that is. There for the end of the season review. Right, okay, that's the Dundee United game. But before we speak to Jamie, let's say thank you very much to our sponsor, Behind the Wall. They have supported us throughout this podcast. Hearts bus tickets are still available. There's no tickets, but there are still spaces on the bus. All the tickets have been allocated. But if you want to go on the bus with the Behind the Wall crew, get in touch with the bar. Give them a call or log on. And of course, the Falkirk Daft Venom is still on sale Behind the Wall. Though I did hear nasty rumours that somewhere in Grangemouth, the old Wetherspoons is now trying to get its own Falkirk Venom, which is disappointing. Wagging my finger at you.
Yes, they're doing a blue Venom. They're not calling it a Falkirk Daft Venom, but they are calling it a Falkirk Venom. And it's blue. So
yes. Not having that. The original and the best, of course, can be found at Falkirk's Premier Bar, Behind the Wall. ABBA Tribute is in there on the 27th of March, and loads of events have just been added, so check out, if you fancy a gig in Falkirk, behindthewall.co.uk. Always a good night in there. I've got the ABBA Tribute on the 27th of March, as I say, and buses to take that are running from June. It's a £15 return, so there you go. So check out all the events at behindthewall.co.uk. Right, okay, let's speak to our CEO now. It's Jamie Swinney.
Good evening, guys.
How are you? Good.
Yeah, still a bit gutted after yesterday, as we all will be. But yeah, that's life. On to the next game, it's got to be.
Yeah, we were just speaking about it there, Jamie. Our own opinions that if we kept 11 men on the park, we either see out the draw or we go on to win it. Because, I mean, as well as Dundee United set up against us, I do think we looked like we were in the ascendancy before the sending off.
Yeah, I thought we were looking likely to go on and win the game. The save the goalie makes off of Lisa at 2 each is, to be fair, an absolutely tremendous save. But I do believe that if we, even with 10, we actually still looked like we could score with 10. So just one of those days where it didn't quite go for us for a couple of reasons, didn't probably defend as well as we have been recently. And obviously a sending off does make it difficult. So. Yep.
Any decision if we're going to appeal the red card yet, Jamie?
I don't think we will. So we always leave football decisions up to the management team, and John's not at this point made out he would. And I spoke to Andy Tanner, one of our analysts, after the game, and the feeling was probably we wouldn't. Whether we agree or not agree, and personally for me, a guy that's still got 20, 25 yards to carry the ball before he can have a shot at goal, you know, anybody that's played football at any level knows that if you're trying to carry the ball at that distance with somebody on your left shoulder, so you're going to have to ride a couple of tackles, you're going to have to try and, you know, you've not got a clean run into goal and a free shot at goal. It's not that. So for me, it's not a red card. However, I think the directive that the referees have been given is that that is a red card, and the trusty one a few weeks back with Celtic probably probably going to set the precedent whether we agree or not. As I say, for me, the minute you've got that distance to cover with the ball, you're going to get caught, you know, because you just simply can't run with the ball as quickly as the person that's running the
especially when Henry Cartwright is on his tail straight away, and you see from the pitch. And I really hope it's not the still that the referee's been shown, because that doesn't play in real time, because Lewis Nielsen was already on his way to get around and cover. So I really hope that's not how the decision's been made. But I think probably off the back of the trusty one and the debate that caused, that there's been a word from Willie down to the rest of the referees saying this is the situation. So it'll be interesting to see what's said on the Willie show when he does it about that red card.
I think that's right. What we don't know is the wee fit of the referees and Willie Colum, they're doing weekly training now, which never used to happen. So they are reviewing and analysing clips every single week. So off the back of the trusty one, I would imagine that there was a clear directive given about this is what happens in these situations. And therefore, whether we agree or not, the ref is probably following what he believes to be the right course of action.
Well, we'll agree to disagree with the referee or the VAR, actually. Because, again, I was saying it feels like that was a re-refereeing. When VAR was brought in to clear and obvious decisions, the referee's given a yellow card. It wasn't a clear and obvious decision because he's given the yellow card. So he effectively, VAR for me, re-refereed the game there, which is not what was brought into. We could debate VAR for ages. Let's talk Falkirk, though. Yeah.
And I think on that occasion, it was one of the few decisions the referee actually got right in the game. and there was a number that he got wrong, but that one is one he probably got right. So.
I had a rumour in the hospitality yesterday that a certain Falkirk legend, who may or may not have his own stands, was having a go at the referee's observer. Is that accurate?
I couldn't possibly say if that was true or not. Let's just say for the first time in a very, very long time, and I include myself in this one, we were a wee bit irate up the back of the stand yesterday, to the point where I've not felt that frustration and anger towards an officiating performance for a long time at the Falkirk Stadium. So I think that probably, you could even hear it across all three stands, that there was it was just one of those days where the refs not had a particularly good day and the fans were letting them know.
One of those days where I've stood just purposely ready to boo the referee as he walked off the park. I waited around, you know, podded the team off and then just waited to unleash a boo when he went off the park. That's so childish of me, but there we go. Jamie, listen, me and Ross have spoke to you on several occasions on this podcast at the live show. So we thought we'd hand over the hard work and save us writing loads of questions to the listeners of Falkirk Daft, if you don't mind. So I'm sure you've answered these questions hundreds of times before. I'm sure you get stopped when you're doing your supermarket shopping, Jamie, and you get asked, what is happening with the four stand? What is happening with the pitch? We're going to have to cover it again, though, Jamie, so apologies in advance.
No, and I think that's why when we chatted about doing a mid-season catch-up, we felt it was worthwhile, because a lot changes in 5-6 months. So let's give it as up-to-date a summary of where we are and everything, and at least that gives the fans the most up-to-date knowledge that we can provide.
Let's kick off with the pitch then, shall we? Gary's in with the first question. He says, can you ask Jamie what is the current state of the pitch? Does the management team and players have problems with it, and has it deteriorated much considering it will be only 3 years old this summer?
So our general feeling is that it has probably deteriorated a little bit quicker than we thought it would and that we would have liked it to. And that's feedback from the players and the management team. I think even aesthetically, it probably looks a little bit more tired than it should. Now, we're working with Sportex and Technical Surfaces, who that's the company who installed the pitch, but also who the kind of sister company who then work with the maintenance of the pitch. So working with them, they've done a site review, a full pitch review, waiting on that coming back, because we did say to them, we're a little bit concerned that it's not performing as it should do for its age. Now, that could be any number of things, but it might just be we need to tweak our maintenance again. So every few months, we're tweaking and changing the maintenance regime. It might just be it needs a little bit more of that. It might be it needs a bit more of probably more intensive maintenance regime maybe in the summer to bring it back again, even though we do get quarterly visits from them to come and do their own maintenance of the pitch. So I think it's fair that we've all seen that wee deterioration, and it is disappointing because we expect it to be performing a little bit better than it is just now. It has been heavily used as well over the last number of years, and it should have deteriorated a little bit, but we feel it maybe is not performing at the level it could be.
Yeah. Jamie, see on that, has there been any discussions then? Obviously, you're not gonna put anything new down in terms of artificial surfaces. However, has there been any discussions within the group and the club about potentially moving to grass earlier than summer 2020?
That actually takes us on to the next question, Ross, which Croft says, given in the fact that we budgeted for 10th and had an extended cup run, is there financial scope for putting down a grass pitch in the summer?
I think in an ideal world, we would, if we had a blank checkbook, I think we probably would, because we would say, if we're going to make the transition anyway, if we can do it earlier and we can do it to a high standard, then why wouldn't we? But to do the transition we want, which is a top-of-the-range hybrid pitch, we're really, really good. The sub-base needs to be the best it possibly could. The infiltration rates, the irrigation system needs a bit of an improvement. To do all of that and also secure a training facility, even if it's a phase one, doing the first work for phase one, that's 1.5 million. So even if we will generate a bit of surplus this year, that will at least start a pitch fund. Yeah. But the reality is we're well short of the 1.5 million, unfortunately. And if we had it sitting there, yes, I think we would give serious consideration to doing it now. But we'll be well short of 1.5 million. Even with a positive year this year, we'll still be nowhere near that. Unless, obviously, we win the Scottish Cup and go to Europe and then. you never know, but then it'd be too late by that point to then actually be able to install the pitch. So even though we're having a good financial year, it won't be possible to do it this summer.
Yeah, that. On the pitch, we continue with the pitch. Obviously, St Johnstone and Ayr are going to be gracing the artificial turf. Kieran's wanting to know, did we get a significant fee for that? And I'm sure that would have been an interesting call to take from the SPFL, Jamie. Did you take the call when they phoned up and said, by the way, can we use your pitch even though we've voted against it for a game that we can't seem to get on?
Yes, when I first quoted the 1.5 million for the rent, they weren't keen on the 1.5 million rent. However, I did make it very clear when I was on the phone to the SPFL that the irony is not lost on me. However, we won't be petty and use that as a reason not to use the pitch. So essentially, we also spoke to Fran at St Johnstone, and it was an opportunity to help them as well, because they were under pressure from the SPFL, given that they had three call-offs. So at this point, you put any kind of pettiness aside and you say, look, if we can help St Johnstone, we will. And if we can help the SPFL, we will. So yes, there's a game on Tuesday night, which as you say, we'll be on unless there's a hell of a snowfall.
Did you offer the same pitch offer to the Dundee United board on Saturday?
I did say that it's nice to get a game of football on, guys, and these pesky plastic pitches. I did make that point to them as well. So yeah, I'm sure they'll be delighted. They're Spartans on Tuesday, haven't they? So it'll be interesting to see how the pitch holds up. I think they've got a few home games in a short space of time, so that pitch might look like it's struggling. I think for the rest of the season, not even just for the next couple of games.
We're on to tickets now. Jamie Yiddo is asking, would it be possible we charge the away fans what they charge us? So a discussion before the season with the other clubs, surely some clubs would be up for charging the away fans less to help their fans when they come to the TFS.
I think that's a good point. So there's obviously been been a fair bit of chat around a potential price cap that the clubs might all agree to. Now, we know how probably unlikely it is that Scottish football clubs would come together to make a kind of progressive decision like that. Unfortunately, there's no real history of the clubs doing something like that. We would be very open to a price cap. We obviously charge 25 just now, but even if it was a price cap at 27 or 28, I think we'd be open to that. If that's not going to be possible, we would also be open to saying to other clubs, we're happy to work with you. And if we can charge your fans 25 or 26 or 27, are you able to do the same? From our point of view, one of the main reasons for wanting to do this is we want our fans to get a fair deal going away from home. So if that could work with 3, 4, 5 clubs, that's better than nothing, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sammy comes in with our next question. Can you ask Jamie what the club intentions are for next season, given that we're realistically safe from the drop this season? Is the recruitment process going to change? Will we bring in more permanents rather than loans?
Yeah, I think this year, and John did say this, I think, after the summer, this year was quite a stressful transfer window in the summer. I don't think any of us particularly enjoyed it, because we did have lots of players identified, and for quite a few of them we had to wait very late in the window. Everybody can remember those last couple of weeks, and I can say I was feeling the stress. I know John was as well, and John mentioned that. That was never the intention of it to take as long as that, but with loans, there's obviously less in your control. I think what the ideal scenario would be is that the loan players have done terrific. When you look at the contribution, quite a few of them have had to the club already, and I think it's significant. If we can get 2 or 3 more permanent, and then maybe instead of having 8 loans, if we could have 3 or 4, I think that would probably be about the right balance. Because the reality is, if we could find another Philip Lisa, and that's a big ask, by the way, but if Alan Fraser can find another Philip Lisa, of course we'd want to bring him in for a year if there's another one out there. And that's the type of player that realistically we probably can't bring in permanently. So I think there's a balance between if we can get somebody who's an absolute standout on loan that we couldn't necessarily afford to bring in permanently, that's still a really good move. But we don't want to have quite as heavy a reliance on loan players, because even coming up to January there was that concern of, will Swansea look to bring a player, I'll take the player back, will Man United, will, and you start, will Leicester, and you start to go through the different clubs. It only takes one club to say, actually, we're going to take him back. And that would have been a bitter blow to lose one of the key players at that point. So having a permanent player does clearly negate that. And Ben Parkinson was probably a great example of what can happen if you track a player over time. We were originally trying to get him on loan. However, 6 months later, he's then into the final 6 months of his contract, and all of a sudden the conversation turned from loan to permanent, and we were able to strike a deal with Newcastle. So I think if you do all the groundwork, you might get these players potentially permanently. But if not, you know, as we've seen with the loan, it can be very, very positive to get them on loan.
He just on the Ben Parkinson signing there, Jamie. So at the time, I think there was a little bit of chat that it was obviously a fee. Granted, you might not be able to explain what the fee was, but there was also like add-on sell-on clauses and stuff. As I take it, it's still a good deal for Falkirk, though. Should Ben at some point progress his career to an even higher level, is it still going to be very worthwhile for Falkirk?
Yeah, we would still retain the majority of the transfer fee. And I must say, both Jack Ross and Ross Wilson were terrific. You know, two people who obviously have a strong affiliation to the club, and they were very pro on the move. Now, that doesn't mean it happens automatically, because there was interest from clubs down south in them. However, I think that helped us, and the fact that we'd spoke to him in the summer, then spoke to him again in January, I think that all went well for us. And I think when you're in these situations with a big club like Newcastle, for them, the fee up front for them is never really going to be of any significance to them. However, they've got to protect themselves by saying, if this player does go on and he really, really sets the header alight, they need the ability to either be able to buy him back if he gets to that level, or at least get a bigger chunk when he moves on. So I think it's only fair, given that they've had essentially developed a player, that they get a reasonably good selling fee.
Is there an option, actually, one of the Stuarts asked, is there an option to extend any of the loans into next season, or is it all just, are they all just on a season long basis?
I don't think you'd ever rule anything out, to be honest with you, because all the players are really enjoying their time at Falkirk. So each one of them have an each one of them's different in terms of where they are in their own club and what information, when they get back to their own club, they'll obviously be keen to understand what the future is. Are they going to be involved in the first team? Is it another loan potentially for those that are coming close to the end of their contracts? Are they able to get an extension? So I would never rule out any of those players being here next year. but you would have to say that it's probably unlikely. However, if we think we could get a deal like a Ben Parkinson deal, for example, for one or two of them, then we would certainly consider it because, as I say, the contribution that some of the guys have made, in fact, the majority of them have made, has been, you know, I think they've fitted in seamlessly, actually, when you think about it. For a lot of them, it's their first time away from home, first time in Scottish football, and they've fitted in as if they've been here for years, some of them, which is a massive credit to them, but also the management team and the dressing room, because all that doesn't happen automatically. It needs to be a good dressing room. They need to be looked after by the management team and the support staff, and the club's got to be a good environment for all that to work. And thankfully, for the vast majority of the loans, it's worked.
Yeah, Alan Fraser's got to take tremendous credit, and obviously, just what an eye for a player that boy has, unbelievable.
Yeah, if we really have, we're lucky. We've got John and Paul, who've got an incredible eye for a player in the Scottish market, and then we've got Alan, who's got, you know, 30 years of experience of scouting down south for big clubs as well, down south, as well as previously scouting for Falkirk. So it's a perfect scenario we've got at this moment in time, that we've got people that really, really we can trust fully with their identification and recruitment process.
I mean, with that in mind, Jamie Stewart actually also asked, you know, and I'm touching wood here, right? But I'm going to hold my hands. You know, I'm the pessimist on this podcast, and say, I think we're safe, right? With that in mind, do you start preparing for another season in the Premier League right now?
Yeah, I would say we've probably been doing that for the last wee while anyway, because I think we've all seen we're a good side. We've all seen that we're very capable against anybody, and I mean anybody in the league, and therefore our plans have been progressing towards being a Premiership club again for another season. So we're already a little bit of the way towards that over the next few weeks. Once we can hopefully consolidate top six, I think that does give us even more scope to be even more ambitious for next year as well, in terms of being able to actually say to players, look, you know, currently just finishing the top six. I think that makes us even more attractive to prospective players as well.
Yeah.
See on that, that was fantastic. We were just saying Jamie Sibbs was fantastic yesterday. Obviously, I know you'll never comment on any prospective player ever joining the club, but Craig Sybil's obviously still got something about him, we were saying, and it was nice of him not to celebrate his goal.
I think to be fair to him, I think back to the couple of times they've came to the stadium when we were in the lower leagues as well. I think the 4-2 game, the Challenge Cup, I'm sure it was at that night, or was it the 2-0 victory for us? But anyway, one of those games he was excellent as well. I actually fought the 3-0 game at Tannadice when we were miles ahead. He was one of their few bright sparks. But yeah, yesterday was excellent.
It was. No, and that was an opinion shared by the United fans that were there in hospitality as well. Just going back to something you said earlier about the if we do consolidate top six, and that's confirmed, what does that then, obviously it may end up changing expectations within the club for the next season, but as are you still going to be, you having to try and balance that with, well, you just don't know what the rest of the division would do next year, try and still be that pragmatic, or do you go, oh, well, do you know what, we've shown that we can compete this year, let's go for it?
I don't think we could ever afford to be in any way, I know you're not suggesting reckless, Ross,
no,
I don't think we'd ever.
No.
I don't think we've not really got the ability to just say, let's go and throw the kitchen sink at it, and I think potentially the club maybe got caught out the last time in the Premiership, a couple of near misses in the top six, and then I think we probably started to maybe push the boat too far, and that and ultimately led a wee bit to the club's relegation, and then the fact that we went down that last time, I think the budget was pretty awful because we'd overspent in the Premiership. So we need to learn the lessons from that. But one thing's for sure, John and Paul, myself, the board, we're not in the Premiership to make up the numbers, so what we're not going to be doing is being comfortable just surviving in the Premiership. I think we want to feel like we can push it as far as that is realistically possible. And for me, that is regularly competing for the top six, I think, is what we need to be doing. And if that means that we get it this season, you know, then why wouldn't we try again to emulate it or even go one better in the following year?
Yeah, we're going to have to ask it. For Stan, Jamie, we spoke to you at the Partners night in 1876 Lounge during the week there, where Keith Gourley, obviously, addressed the four stand question in regards to the infrastructure. He said there was probably two options on the table, a 15 million option, and then was it 30 million, 35 million option there or thereabouts? Where are we at with, for anyone that wasn't in that room in the night, can you just explain where we are with the four stand and the plans?
Yes, so we've got a feasibility study and some drawings done for the big, we'll call it option A, the larger 30 to 35 million pound development, which would add a huge amount of commercial opportunities within it. That, while it's not dead in the water, the challenge with that is actually finding someone who's able to give us that level of money over a period of time that we can pay it back that works for both parties, because most of these finance agreements will maybe be over 20 to 25 years. So when you start to creep up to that number, it's difficult. It's not easy necessarily for somebody to get a return on investment, because clearly anybody giving us that money are going to want a reasonably good interest rate back for them to make their money over the course of time. So it might be the option two, which is still, I think, would still be a fantastic development for the club, which is 2,000-ish seats. And we still have quite a good degree of commercial viability within it, so it would be opportunities to make money 365 days a year. That's still a massive task. £15 million, give or take, is still a huge task, but there's a better chance, I think, of us getting a finance agreement that allows us to pay that back over a sensible period of time, like a 20 year agreement, for example. That's more feasible. It's still very, very hard, I would add, but it's more feasible. We can get a business plan that works for that, and we can get somebody who is comfortable they'll get their return over a sensible period of time. So we are doing a lot of the work that we need to do now, but it is something that's, you know, if I'm going to be honest, it could still be a good few years down the line, just because of the amount of money that we're talking here. And what we'll never do is put the club at risk unnecessarily.
Yeah, we see with the obviously the different options available then, so you mentioned it would depend on the finances and what have you. Seating capacity, I think you just said there was about 2,000. Would that be the same regardless of the development?
I think we feel that's about right in terms of for the next kind of growth stage of the club. We're now at the point where we're consistently getting close to 7,000 home fans. When you include everybody, season ticket holders, walk-ups, hospitality, etc. We're getting 6,500 to 7,000, which is a tremendous number. So the next stage after that, then, maybe we add 2,000 seats over there. You're then looking to grow that home support to 8,000, you know, so you're looking for another 1,000 to 1,500 fans coming every week. That's still quite a lot of growth, but I think it's possible. I think that's absolutely possible. You know, if you then fast forward 5, 10, 50 years in the future and you were getting that regularly, I suppose there would always be the option to develop further in terms of the corners or whatever. You would have an ability to do it if you need to. But I think getting to the point where there's the ability to sell 8,000 home tickets and 2,000 away, I think that's probably a really good place to be if we can get there.
Yeah, obviously it's a question you'll be sick and tired of answering, Jamie, but thanks for doing that. Let's get into this. An interesting question from Neil, and you can take the fifth in this one if you want, Jamie. Which player do you think has been the club's most important signing in your time as CEO?
Wow, that is a big question.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's three that stand out. It's hard to separate the three, but Hendo, Brad and Calvin.
Yeah.
You know, I don't quite know how you would separate those three, to be honest with you, because they've all been so, so good for us. But you could pick any one of those three, I think.
Yeah. I think that's very much the obvious three. Ross, you can answer it on Jamie's behalf. What are you going for?
It is a tough one, especially considering at least two of the players' dads listen to the podcast. you know, it's a tough one. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, because he was the first signing and he was the first important stage of the redevelopment, I'm going to say Hendo, but I can understand why, like, Brad, I think, has been phenomenal. And then probably more in recent times, Calvin's got his important. But no, I'm going to go with Hendo because he was the first in the door and he set the standard back in League One.
Yeah.
And I think when you think about everybody always talks about the core of a team. I mean, there's your centre-back, your centre midfielder and one of your attackers, essentially. And Calvin's been the one that's had the biggest numbers across all the divisions, goals and assists. Brad's played almost every minute of every game and ran the show and many, many games, and Hendo's just been absolutely, you know, sensational in left centre back. So all three of them, I mean, when you think about their contribution to the club and hopefully with us for many years to come, all three of them, but we'll look back on those three in particular. And by the way, there's numerous others that you could throw in there, but you look back on those three in particular and say, what an incredible contribution they made to Falkirk Football Club.
Can I throw a suggestion as this, one of the best signings, or it's probably the best signing, and Jamie made it, is John McGlynn and Paul Smith.
Yeah,
like that's that. You talk about Hendo being the starting point, but actually, it's John and Paul that's the starting point for all of this.
Yeah, I'm very glad that myself and the board did feel that John and Paul were the right people. I mean, we were convinced they were, but at the same point, could we have seen it going as well as it actually has? I think even the most optimistic, even the most optimistic
Ross couldn't even see it going that way. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Because you can be convinced of a decision, but then there's a level way beyond that, which is what John and Paul have done. That's you know, it's way beyond our dreams, to be honest, if it's how well they've done.
Jamie, just on you, and this is, I mean, obviously a Falkirk supporter, you know, you're living every Falkirk supporter's dream, running the club. But from your own personal, you come from a background where you were involved in youth football, you were involved in coaching. It must be so pleasing that you've got now this team in front of you. You know, I think the other week there were 9 out of the 11 were Scots in the team. The average age of the side during the week was 22 and a half years old. From a personal point of view and from a football point of view, you know, having come through that route, you must be so proud of what you're seeing out on that pitch now.
Yeah, they're such a well-coached group. They really are. They're such a well-coached group of players, and it's because John and Paul have worked with them for a good few seasons now. And you're right, you watch, you can't help but watch that group of players, and especially guys like Leon and Nizzy that have came with us all the way through from one of the worst seasons in the club's history to now enjoying the opportunity to play in the Premiership. It is a privilege. I know I've probably said that quite a few times, but it is a genuine privilege watching the team perform. Even yesterday, I don't think we were at our absolute best yesterday. There were still moments yesterday of fantastic play, but both the goals are two brilliant goals. It's a pity that they never meant anything yesterday. However, two great goals, and I just think that's what we've almost come to expect it. They're just so well coached. The players understand their role in the team. They work so cohesively together. You see the movement off the ball. You see the connections and the interchanges between the players. It's from a coaching perspective, and the coaching hat probably never leaves me. Although I've never ever tried to tell John what to do for my coaching for you, but you know, the coaching hat never leaves me, and I think watching them is a real pleasure.
No, I mean, I think as a Falkirk supporter, just as you say, seeing these players coming on this journey, and you know, everyone goes on at the Barney Stewart story, the Keelan Adams story, but then you've got to look at the Leon McCann story, the Aidan Nesbitt story, and like you say, from the lowest point in the club's history, now Leon McCann is smashing it. And I think going further than that, you know, you're now starting going, well, why are these people like Liam Henderson, Calvin Miller, Scott Bain? I mean, Steve Clark's got to be starting for a, you know, Falkirk play the most Scots in the league, and if we're a top six team, Steve Clark can't help but having a glance over at us and going, well, what are those guys doing there? You know, I'm sure there'll be a few people in front of the queue in front of Hendo, because he's, you know, probably going against Stuart Finlay, Craig Halkett. But Scott Bain, you've got to think, has a very good chance of going to the World Cup. And why not Calvin Miller? Harvey Barnes has just turned down the opportunity, and we need pace and we need width, so why not?
I think that's the thing, Eber. Hendo and Calvin and Scott are all in positions that we really lack quality and depth. I mean, it's not like we've got an abundance of centre-backs, an abundance of goalkeepers, an abundance of wingers. We've got one winger. Ben Gannon-Doak's probably our only recognised winger. Centre-back, we've been struggling for a long time at centre-back, and we've only got one goalkeeper that actually plays every week, and that is Scott Bain. So, is it realistic? I don't know. For me, I would hope that Steve or you know, other members of staff are at least monitoring their performances. It would be amazing to see one Falkirk player, if not two or three, getting in that plane.
See, just whilst we're talking about Scotland then, so if Scott Bain does indeed make the squad for the summer, will he be back in time for our own European adventures?
Yeah, that'll be a tight turnaround, actually. That will be
a very tight turnaround, yeah.
Especially so, when's the World Cup final actually? So many
listen, we can't go by without asking a Money question. Here's a Money question from Derek. Please, can you ask Jamie Swinney if the main signing at Falkirk Stadium is going to get replaced? It's starting to look a bit tired and done. I love the new branding at either end of the main stand, and the blue LED lights look cracking. So, is the main sign at the stadium getting replaced?
Right, okay, so the one at the top that says that'll the Falkirk Stadium.
That'll be the Falkirk Stadium sign, aye, aye, at the top.
So I hate to feel like we're just passing the buck here, but it literally it's actually Falkirk Council's job. The two Falkirk signs were ours, you know, they're our responsibility, and therefore when one of the letters blew off, then it was the letter K. One of the letters blew off anyway on the side close to the north stand side, so we had to go and do them, and then obviously the kind of blew up letters made sense, but unfortunately it's not our job to fix that one. It does look a wee bit tired.
See, if it was your responsibility, would it be on the list of jobs to do?
there is a bit of me that thinks the main stand, right, while it was probably the way we'd done the development of the stadium was probably not right. You know, let's build a huge, ridiculous size main stand and then not really have the plan to build the rest of the stadium. But obviously the council wanted it. But the one thing I would say is we actually do get people like from other clubs coming in and saying to us, you know, the main stand is really so impressive, especially at night time. People drive in. I remember Ben Kensel, who was Hibs chief executive, we played them in the cup a couple of years ago. He'd never been to Falkirk Stadium, because he'd from down south and he'd taken Hibs job, and that night we beat them 1-0 in the League Cup, I think it was. And he came and he says, I can't believe how impressive this main stand is. So it is a really, really good main stand, and therefore you want it to look its best. And it does look a wee bit tired in certain places. I think that'd be safe and that'd be fair to say. So if we keep progressing things, maybe we'll be able to speak to the council and get that signed.
Tacked up a little bit. There we go. You put your answer there, Derek. And finally, Jamie, question from Callum. Is there any update on the John McGlynn stand? Also, will the club charter a plane for our Euro trip and rename it the Wayne plane? That's from Callum.
Well, as I said to Ross last week, I'm sure Ross offered to pay for the plane. So
I heard that.
It's roughly 100k to charter a flight, Ross. So
He works in the mortgage business. He's got plenty of money.
So if you're paying for it, Ross, you can call it whatever you want to call it.
Excellent. Well, as long as John and Paul are in my row on the plane, I'm all right with that as well.
Falkirk Daft live in Moldova sounds like a good plan, Ross, if it was that.
Oh, can you imagine like doing an event like when we're... I know we're jumping the gun here because we're not even in Europe yet. Imagine doing like a live event behind the wall on tour, get the Venoms packaged up.
And the North Macedonian version of Behind the Wall. we'll wait, expect breath. And you can be our first guest as well, Jamie. You can come on that as well. So
that would be very messy. Very, very messy.
We've obviously went through all the questions from the viewers, but have you got any before we let Jamie go?
Listen, I've got Jamie on speed dial, so I'll just WhatsApp him any questions. And I have to say, my question is, were you playing for the Falkirk Daft team in the charity match again this year, Jamie?
Yeah, if I can, although I done my hamstring in that last game, and I've not been able to play since. I went back, so the last 10 minutes of the game, I felt a wee bit tight in my hamstring. This is typical. This is now middle-aged conversation going on here. So I felt my hamstring going, and I thought, I'll play for the last 10 minutes, I'll be fine. And I felt it. So a few weeks later, I went to play fives, and it properly went. And I've not played since. That was six months ago.
I spoke to Scott Henderson. He had the exact same problem as well. He says he's not been able to, he's had to go to physio and everything after playing in that game. There you go. You got any questions for Jamie Ross?
I don't think so. It's obviously a really open and honest interview, as it always is when we speak to you, whether it's on here or at Falkirk Daft Live, or as we heard from yourself and the rest of the board on Wednesday night. I think we're obviously in a really, really good place so far this season. We're went beyond expectations. How far do you think we can go in Scottish football within our, as you quite rightly said earlier on, within our safety net of a particular budget? How far do you think we can go?
So that's a great question, actually. That is, because we're all loving where we are, and as I say, I don't see why we can't regularly compete within the top six or for the top six places. I think we're good enough to at least be competitive in that one. Fan ownership, clearly, I think, is the one that gives us the most pride about what we achieve, because somebody just writing the checks and overspending, while you might get success, I don't think you can take that collective pride at that point in time, because ultimately it's somebody else that's paying the bills. Every Falkirk fan can actually take genuine pride about this team on the park, what we've achieved. If we do get to the top six, if we do get to a Scottish Cup semi-final or final, all of that is genuinely collectively owned. So I think that bit's almost like money can't buy. If we can get the right investor, and I do think this is crucial, that 25-33% investor, somebody who comes in, brings a little bit of well, obviously buys equity in the club, which gives us some money to spend, and it helps us develop our training ground, for example, that would be crucial, helps us build towards the fourth stand, but then also has some form of, you know, significant input in terms of, you know, what can they bring to the table in terms of other, you know, beyond cash, how can they add value to the club? Because I think we've got the club running really, really well. But with an investor with us, with our ownership together, that is incredibly powerful. I think that actually takes us beyond just a kind of somebody coming in for a few years and us living beyond our means. So if we get all that right, Ross, if we can keep the club going the right direction with regards to, you know, continued growth in the turnover, and the FSS membership can continue to go up in the right direction, if we can do all that, I don't see why we can't be consistently competing in that top six. And that does mean we'll get to Europe at some point. Because if you're consistently competing in the top six, you'll finish in the top five at some point. You'll finish fourth, or you'll finish fifth, or you'll finish fourth. If you're consistently doing that, you'll be in quarterfinals, you'll be in semifinals. And then that one that we all want, let's be honest, the one that we all want is just to, you know, just to lift one of the two national cups. Ideally, the Scottish Cup, but let's face it, we wouldn't say no to the League Cup either.
No.
You know, we walked into St Mirren that day, the Spicer Stadium, not long after they'd won it, and they had it sitting out in their boardroom. And I did see that. I see the amount of jealousy that we've all got just looking at that trophy is just unreal. And St Mirren have done it. You know, they've been to Europe recently. They've won the League Cup. I don't see why we can't do that. I really think we've got a great group of players, a fantastic management team, really good core staff and volunteers, and we've got, in my opinion, one of the best fan bases in the whole country. I don't just mean in terms of right now, but the backing we get home and away is phenomenal. So we've kind of got everything just about there that we need to be successful.
Brilliant. Listen, Jamie, thanks so much for coming. I mean, obviously there was panic a couple of weeks ago with John might be on his way to Aberdeen. There was all sorts of rumours. That looks like it might be in the back burner now. But what I would say is he's such an important part of Falkirk, and so are you. So I hope you're not going anywhere soon, Jamie, either, because I'm pretty sure, like, when obviously success at a club like Falkirk, you know, with the players, the management, and the people doing the jobs behind the scenes, like your good self, that won't go unnoticed. So don't be going anywhere soon, all right?
Okay, John, no problem. I can safely say I've got no plans to go anywhere, and I can also say that we've got no approach for John either. Another one that was obviously doing the rounds, and a certain ex-Celtic player saying that there was, a deal agreed for Calvin Miller. There was not a single phone call from Celtic. So I don't know how a deal could have been agreed when there was no phone call. That's quite impressive.
Absolutely not. Well, that's all the rumours dealt with then. Brilliant. I've started a new one that Jamie might be getting pinched as well. Brilliant. Listen, Jamie, thanks so much for joining us on Falkirk Daft. Always a pleasure. And here's to you, Scottish Cup in Europe in top six for the end of the season.
On the birds.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to qualify for Europe twice. We can either finish fifth or win the Scottish Cup. I mean, just one of them. We don't need to finish fifth and also win the Scottish Cup. You know, we just pick one of them.
Here, listen, you were there on Wednesday night. You heard John say he's going for Motherwell. Never mind Hibs.
Absolutely brilliant. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks, guys.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Brilliant to chat to Jamie there, Ross. It's always such an honest conversation with him, you know. And as I do say, like, My worry is that someone, and I didn't want to embarrass him, I could tell he was squirming a bit there, but with success that he's had, and we all know that Jamie's such a good orator as well, he talks so well, the job he's done can't go
Yeah.
unnoticed as well.
No.
Phenomenal. He's so open with the fans. There's a great line of communication as a
Yeah.
result of him, and obviously the board as well that he's working with as well have done a phenomenal job. But Jamie's the one that you think there'll be bigger clubs out there. You saw Alan Burrows, the job he did at Motherwell, and then went to Aberdeen. Leighanne Dempster was another one. Clubs will look at Jamie's situation and go, he's someone
Yeah.
that could. In terms of CEO money, I don't think we'll be paying the highest
Well,
going
no,
about.
listen,
So there's an opportunity. So it's,
we might not be. However, as we both know, sometimes it isn't always about cash. Sometimes it's about how much you enjoy your job. He's obviously he lives locally as well. Listen, his stock's high, the club's stock high, so it's expected that there will potentially be some chatter at some point about Jamie. However, I don't want to put him under any pressure, but if he loves the club, he won't ever leave. So
you won't
he'll never leave.
ever
And if he does, then he doesn't. So
leave. You're brilliant. Listen, before we go, thanks to Jamie, and thanks very much to the Falkirk Football Fans and Train T8s. Dougie from the T8s was in the 1876 Lounge yesterday, so having a good chat with him. But if you want to get involved in that, they are down at the stadium every Wednesday from 8:30 to 9:30. They've got the over 50 section as well as the Elite Academy and Legends section. If you fancy a game of football, you fancy a kickabout, we're all getting old, as Jamie says, but this is a great group of lads, and it's just a laugh, and you can have a kick about with them every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. Help your mental health, make new pals, as I always say, and get on the booze with these guys as well, because they're a great bunch of lads. You just need to be over 40, no ex-pros or registered amateurs, and all the details are below to get in touch with Ian, Willie or Dougie and get yourself involved with the Falkirk Football Fans and Train. I saw they were playing Rangers today, actually, so I don't know how they've got on. I'll need to have a look, but they're playing a Rangers select side, and Chris McGill was actually playing, or kit man was playing
Oh,
for the
was
Falkirk
he?
side. I
Oh,
saw
there
the
we
team
go.
sheet, so I don't know how they got on, so we'll need to speak to the guys to find out how they got on. We'll report back next week. And actually, on that, the Falkirk women battered Ayr 7-1. No, it wasn't Ayr they were playing. I can't remember who they were playing, but they won 7-1 today. Unbelievable
Excellent,
result for the
excellent
Falkirk, who are
news.
flying this season. So well done to the girls. I saw one of the strikes from Mary Smith. Absolutely, what a goal it was. So they're absolutely flying at the moment, the Falkirk women. And if you ever get the chance, go down and check them out. They're most Sundays, every other Sunday, down at the stadium. So yes, brilliant. Well done, Falkirk women. Well done to TX. Links are below. That's us. Let's get up the road, Ross. I need to go make my dinner. You've got another couple of days off with the kids. Lucky you. I didn't think ahead to this, so I'm working all this week. So, but we'll be back hopefully with a preview episode with Heart for Hearts. I'll ask you and Willa. We'll
Let's
see.
dig in, because that even though they lost today, they're still in a very strong place. They obviously lost the last time they played Falkirk, so will that come into his thinking ahead of this weekend? Who knows? But it's always good to chat to Ewan and see what he sent it.
Yeah, we'll try to get that sorted out and out for Thursday. Remember to rate, review the podcast, leave your comments below. I've got a belter of a question for you, actually. I'll maybe leave this one with you, and we can do this for homework for next week. And this is for all you listeners and watching. Falkirk Lone 11. What's your
Lone 11.
Falkirk Lone 11? So,
I like that question. I
yeah, it was
like that question.
shout out to Bloy who put this to me yesterday, and I've been thinking about it. So, I
Is
want
this
you
all-time
all-time
loans?
Lone 11.
Wow.
All-time loan 11.
Okay.
So
Right.
like I'm so far I'm kind of waking up, making up the spine in my side. So Kat, you could have Casper Schmeichel or Tim Krul in goals.
You could.
You could have
Absolutely.
so I think I'm going Casper, and I've got Stokes up front, and
Right.
then you can I think Luke Graham at the back.
Oh yeah, Luke Graham. Yeah, listen, that is a brilliant
There you
question.
go. There's your
And
homework for next week, ladies and
let's do
gents.
it. Let's Falkirk, do it.
Your Falkirk all-time lone 11. There you go.
Get them sent in as well. Let's see them.
Absolutely. Comment below. Get hits up on Twitter. We'll stick it out on our social media as well. So, brilliant. And, Josh, you've got to do your team and I'll do my team. Compare and contrast on Thursday's podcast. Let's do that. Brilliant. Listen, thanks very much for watching, listening, whatever you do it. Get on the Discord. Check out the merch. If you want to sponsor the episode, thank you very much for Carpet Ways for sponsoring this week's episode. Get on our socials, drop us an email, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk. It's where you'll get us. And thank you very much for watching or listening. And until next time, Ross.
Beg the unexpected.
We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. Listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's caring about being a Falkirk bear, We're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.